found in the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon, knowing that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and all of the people that dwell in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and an hissing, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but you would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Kolaiah, and of Zedekiah the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name, behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am witness, saith the Lord. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehelamite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord, for every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. Now, therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So can I say it this way as an overview of the chapter? Difficult times bring all kinds of people out of the woodwork. Right? Isn't that true? So the Lord, in that difficult time, stirred up Jeremiah. But there were others that stirred themselves up. Three are listed by name toward the end of the chapter that prophesied falsely and were trying instead to gain a popularity with the people, perhaps. Some of them had other more nefarious designs, as we read. But there was a decided contradiction of the prophet that the Lord had sent. Are we not reminded then of that prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 8 and verse 20, where the people are seeking a word from the Lord, and Isaiah the prophet is instructed by God to tell to them, why do you seek out wizards that peep and mutter? Should not a people seek unto their God? If they, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Well, we have three men that rose up out of the woodwork, as it were, to comfort the people of God with what we might call a false comfort. And so they are accursed, and they become a curse and a byword among the people of God, even in Babylon. All right, so that's the overview. But there's something that goes on here that I think is very, very instructive. So Jeremiah stands up in those days, being yet in Jerusalem, and writes a letter and has it carried to the captives in Babylon. What a wonderful mercy that is. Think about that for a moment. Here they have these three false prophets that are prophesying against them. And so the only word of God, in quotes, that they're subject to in Babylon is a false word. The Lord knows that. These were the obedient ones. These were the ones that obeyed the voice of the prophet Jeremiah and said, yes, we will go out and we will be taken captive and the Lord will carry us away to Babylon. Note what the just Lord does. He doesn't leave them without a word. They obeyed him. And so he will follow them with his word into Babylon and continue to instruct them. Do you see the great mercy of God in that? God does not deprive his people of his word, those especially that obeyed him. Rather, he takes a very special procedure to make sure that they get a very specialized and particular instruction for what they're about to do in Babylon for 70 years. Now think of the mercy and grace of God in revealing to his people what they ought to be doing at that time. That's the first point. The second point is, you know, we don't have a theocratic homeland like the children of Israel did. Right? Instead, they were, quote unquote, carried away captive from that theocratic homeland of theirs. And they were forced, if you will, to sojourn in a land not their own. Right? It is not without any intention that the Lord uses that term sojourner for us as well, because we are, in a very spiritual sense, forced to live in a place that is not our home either. Right? This world, that's not our place. Our polity is in heaven, the Apostle Paul will say in his letter to the Philippians. And so our affections ought to be there. Our eyes ought to be there. Our love ought to be there. Our thoughts ought to be there. Just like the children of Israel's would have been for those 70 years. And so what I find here then in chapter 29 is great instruction for the people of God today as to how to live in a place that's not their final home. Number one, remember this, that the Lord has said we will never be without His Word. He will give us the instruction and the light that we need. And He has His appointed means to do that. The preaching of His Word, the reading of His Word, the use of His Word in our homes and so on. Secondly, note that the Lord has said that we are to take some root because we're going to be here a while. It's not a sin to take some root in this world. To do what? To buy a house. To plant a garden. Notice, He didn't say you're going to inherit large tracts of land. He said plant a garden. Because their land was somewhere else. Right? So you can't love the land in Babylon. It's not your land. Your land is over here. You see the spiritual import of all of that. Pray for the peace of the city and serve the king of Babylon. Even though he's not your true king, God is your true king. Still, serve the king of Babylon. Pray for the peace of that city, because in its peace also you will have peace. What wonderful advice on how to live in this world that is not our final place. Pray for the peace of the city and the country wherein we live. Pray for our civil magistrates and serve them in all their lawful commands. And we have a wonderful example of that, don't we, in Daniel, which begins in chapter 1 when he says what? Please don't feed me that foul food. And let me eat this instead. And Daniel's life is characterized by how it is that we serve in a foreign land. That's where we are, folks. We're in a foreign land, and we have wonderful instruction in these latter prophets that help us to understand how we should be conducting ourselves in today's world. So we pray for the peace of the city. We continue to obey the commandments of God. We serve the king under which we live civilly, as far as it is commensurate with the word of God or indifferent to it. And we speak peace and we speak truth in the gates. These are all wonderful, wonderful commands and wonderful instructions. However, notice that there was an attempt for those commandments, those instructions, to be countermanded. Right? And so false prophets rose up to speak against what Jeremiah had given them from the word of the Lord. But notice this, and let's close with this. This is such an important point. It's often missed. That Jeremiah not only gave them commandment, he gave them promise. Now watch. Verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Okay, so we have a wonderful promise. Can I say it this way? Those false prophets, They were very much like a smorgasbord, weren't they? Very much like a buffet. They said, we'll take the promise, but we won't take the captivity. Right? False prophets often speak a measure of truth, but they don't speak the whole truth. They don't speak it in its proper context. They don't put it in its proper place. They will lift one passage of Scripture and press it to the detriment of its total meaning and context. And we see this even, don't we, in this very passage where we have this very famous verse where the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Right? And how that verse is often ripped from its context. Because what had they been told? They had been told a very specific thing. Stay in Babylon. Now, there were prophets that said, we know the thoughts God has toward us. We're leaving now. Instead of listening to the prophet and the fullness of the message that he had for them. It's a very important point. We cannot pick and choose. We must take all of God's chastisements with all of God's promises because they are all gracious. And if we would thwart the chastisements in favor of the more peaceable times, we would thwart the grace of God toward His people, sending them afflictions for our good. Thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's stand.